Welcome to Schoolin' Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds featuring prominent leaders, subject matter experts, and thought innovators with their perspectives on the current challenges facing K-12 education. I'm your host, Larissa Napolitan, a former teacher, instructional coach, and a member of the Branching Minds team, here to lead conversations with educational leaders and experts. My hope is to share with you not only valuable insights and knowledge from leaders in education, but have fun while doing it and shine a light on phenomenal educators and those that are on a mission to transform our schools and the lives of students. If you've ever worked in a school environment or really any workplace, each has its own lingo or acronyms. The education environment has so many acronyms, you definitely need a glossary. MTSS, PBIS, PLC, and it all might vary based on school, district, or state. For educational leaders striving to move change initiatives forward, they have to do the work to bring everyone on the same page, which includes having that common language. Today's guest, Chrissy Martin from Roanoke Rapids School District in North Carolina, talks about the importance of developing common language as they implemented MTSS, ensuring more consistency in their MTSS practice across the district. In the episode, we dive into specific techniques that she developed in order to have effective implementation and what it means to be visible as an administrator. Thanks for listening. Well, today on the podcast, I have the privilege of talking with Chrissy Martin, who is the MTSS coordinator for Roanoke Rapids School District in North Carolina. And she's here just to talk about MTSS and what's been going on with her school district. And so I'm just so excited to have you here. Chrissy, starting out, I want to just ask, where have you seen the impact of MTSS the most? Like, do you have a story or student that comes to mind that MTSS has made the difference for them?
Well, I have a lot of stories, but I'll start with one about a particular student. I just want to say that MTSS has had the greatest impact on looking at the whole child. So a lot of times we see grades and we see test scores and okay, hey, we're going to tier the students and we're going to match them with the appropriate interventions and everything's going to be okay. But sometimes if we only look at academics, then we are missing pieces of the puzzle. So what we did in our district is we refined our team structures. And so we have an MTSS team, but then we also have a problem solving team, which is a subgroup of that team. And when there are students who aren't successful or they are not responding to the interventions, then we take a closer look. So this one particular student was not performing and the student was not responding to interventions. And so the MTSS team brought the student or referred the student to the problem solving team, which was a smaller group. The teacher from the previous year said, you know, I taught this student and this student should be able to master these standards. The student was pretty good in math. And so when we took a closer look at the student, we realized that it was probably not academics. The root cause was attendance. And you might say, hey, well, that's a no-brainer, but not necessarily. You know, teachers have a lot of work to do. And we use the Branching Minds platform for tiering and for interventions. But if I have several students throughout the day, I may not realize that little Johnny isn't here. I just realize that, hey, I assessed him again, and he didn't show improvement. But he didn't show improvement because he was not present for the interventions. So that's a very simple example, but I think it's profound. And it's very powerful because, of course, Johnny's not going to respond to the intervention because Johnny's not in school. And then we have COLs in our district, which are sort of likened to social workers. So we don't have any school social workers, but we do have COLs, and it stands for Community Outreach Liaison. And when there are attendance issues, the COLs or the school counselors reach out to the parents to find out why. And it's not always because the student doesn't want to attend school or, you know, the student is skipping or whatever. There are sometimes other issues. So getting to the root cause to find out why students aren't in school or why students are misbehaving is very important. And I think that the MTSS framework is wonderful for that reason. You have to use multiple data points. You have to refer to several sources. And then you have that vertical alignment piece. So the teacher the year before was able to speak to the student's progress in her class. And that raised some eyebrows to say, hey, well, why can't the student do this skill or master this skill in another grade? And so,
yeah. Well, I think that that's really true of like when you bring all the pieces together, like you're not just looking at academics, but you're looking at the whole child. You really do that really does help that finding that root cause and kind of getting down to like, how can we help solve that? So for you, what has been your journey in kind of like understanding MTSS or even just being a champion for it in the work that you do? Where did you kind of begin with that?
Okay, so I started teaching in 2003. And during the 2004-2005 academic year, it was at the time it was called PBS instead of PBIS. And we had response to intervention. And so 2014, here's MTSS. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, some of the district administrators during that time said, and I was still in the classroom, hey, it's the same thing as, you know, RTI. It's just a different name. They're calling it something different. And then there were some who said, hey, it's sort of like RTI and PBIS, but they still never talked about them collectively. It's still sort of two separate initiatives, like, hey, this is an umbrella. We're going to do PBIS this way, and we're going to do response to intervention. So it wasn't until I actually had to be a part of a district leadership team that I realized, hey, that's not quite what's going on with MTSS. It's just one framework for total school improvement. And in order to get the student outcomes that we want, we can't be siloed with behavior and attendance and academics. We have to consider all of those things simultaneously when we are meeting the needs of our learners.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's really true. I think that, you know, around that same time, you know, I was learning about all of those things as a new educator. And I think that the trick for me was like, when you, for MTSS, it's all, like you said, all under that same umbrella. And kind of how do those systems work together? Cause just as you have to examine the whole child, you know, understanding that the academics impact the social emotional impacts the academics and behavior, and all of that works together. Like if you have all the teams kind of separate, you're not really thinking about how that impacts each other. And so I always think it's important to that it is the combined, you know, the combined work, right? The powers that work together. maybe it's like the Avengers of student improvement. I don't know. Yes. That's a terrible analogy, but I love hearing about sort of how, you know, how each educator like having that understanding. And so for you in your work, is an important factor of like your work with MTSS? Like when you work with schools, how do you help communicate the power of MTSS for the schools that you work with?
So one thing that I've learned is that a lot of our schools in our district, or most of them, all of them really, are already doing the work. Sometimes it's not with fidelity, just because, you know, I'll just use Branch of Minds. We're thankful and grateful to have Branch of Minds, because otherwise there was a lot of, you know, manual tiering or to be honest, some guesswork here and there for students with the tiering. But I found that establishing that common language is important, even with team instructors. Like, let's call the team that's doing the work, or leading the work rather, the MTSS team. And let's ensure that that team is interdisciplinary, that multiple grade levels are represented, that we have an administrator, electives, CTE, EC department. So it's about the representation, right? Making sure that everyone has a seat at the table, a school counselor, COL, and I believe it hasn't been as difficult to show the importance because, again, they were already doing the work. They were calling it something different. In my district, they had two teams, the help team and the wraparound team. So the wraparound team is what we renamed the MTSS leadership team. And then the help team is the problem solving team. So when I, you know, had my initial meetings, I said, hey, this is what MTSS entails, right? Some of the things that it entails. They said, oh, we do that already. Oh, the wraparound team does that. Oh, the help team does that. And so we looked at our team instructors, and in some cases, there were some key people missing from the wraparound team or the help team. So we restructured those, and I just reiterate over and over, whether it's email, a staff meeting, POC, this is the MTSS team. This is the problem solving team. And by the end of the year, everybody's saying MTSS leadership team or, you know, the problem solving team. So I think we are just in general, educators are doing the work, maybe not with fidelity, but they're doing the work. And it's just been about being intentional. I've talked to a teacher and she said, you know, I've tried everything with this student, you know, I've done tier one, obviously, tier two, tier three. And I said, okay, well, how did that look? And she said, I worked with this student every day. Okay, well, what did you try? I tried everything. So just going back to, okay, where's your documentation? What is the specific intervention? We're going to talk about intensity, duration, frequency, just shifting the mindset from, and I'm sure this teacher, she's a hardworking teacher. So she did literally try everything that she knew to try, but naming it, I tried this intervention on these days for this long using these resources, being more explicit and making sure that you document it. Mm-hmm. So being intentional and explicit.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's the part of recognizing that teachers are doing that hard work, because I think that there is that sentiment of like, oh, this is just another thing. This is, you know, you're just adding the workload of this piece of technology, but really wanting to make sure like that we are working to the efficiency of, you know, because what happens is that a teacher says, well, I've tried everything. And then maybe that student gets shifted to another teacher's class. And they're like, well, I've tried everything. Well, and if you've never explicit about that, really, you may be duplicating work and you aren't really actually trying the thing that may, like, finding the right intervention. Because sometimes it is about problem solving and really going back to like, yeah, these interventions aren't going to work because of this reason. Here's the right one. And that's the thing that can make the difference and fill in that gap for that student. But I think, like you said, like the teachers are doing it. It's just really being like documenting it and really understanding it. So there's visibility for everyone, not because you don't believe them that they're doing all the things, but really of like, hey, tell me what you've tried so that I can help, you know, and make that, you know, make your job easier, or even just like that we can come alongside and provide the intervention that maybe we didn't know about. So yeah, I think that that's a really good point. I also think something you said about really kind of giving that explicit of like, here's the data of how it works. I think that that's really important for teachers to see, of just like when we're really explicit about our work, you know, we can really then see the evidence. Because sometimes we, in the midst, and I was a middle school teacher for years, in the midst of that work, we don't always see the end result and we don't see the evidence of the things, or we get a new group of students by the time we get end of year data back. And so really being able to see that progress along the way is really important for teachers to, I think, encouraging in some ways too, to see that what they're accomplishing in the midst of hard work, because being a teacher is hard work.
Yes.
Even in some of this, like the MTSS work, I mean, like you talked about, it's kind of like a work in progress. How do you feel like when you have been sort of implementing MTSS in general, how's that going? Like, how did you go about like kind of integrating that into the sort of the everyday life? You talked about some of the teamwork, but even just when it comes down to like training the teachers, what did that look like for your district?
I think we cannot, I'm telling you, we cannot underestimate the power of repetition. I mean, you know, I had someone jokingly call me the triangle lady, right? Because I always talk about the triangle, and I emphasize that all means all, and we can't intervene on a faulty core. So a lot of the things that we think about with MTSS, you know, you could say tier two and tier three, but if we would strengthen, right, the core and that high quality differentiated instruction, then we'll see some of the changes. You know, if you have an inverted triangle, then that's not on the students. That means that we have to, you know, be reflective practitioners and see what's going on. I gave a quiz, 50% of my students fail. Then I need to look at the standards. I need to make sure that the assessment is aligned to my instruction. So we've had some discussions about what our data means and how our triangle would look ideally. So like I said, all means all, that the tiers are fluid. So you don't get a student is tier three. We hope that the student isn't, you know, tier three all school year. Let's celebrate some successes. Maybe the student is great, you know, in geometry. So if the student is great in geometry, then this is an opportunity to capitalize on those strengths, like with a strengths-based mindset instead of deficits. Using multiple data points. A lot of times we say, hey, we're going to use this, you know, iReady. We use iReady in our district. Okay, what other sources of data can we use in addition to iReady? And really providing or helping to provide the tools. You know, a lot of times we ask teachers to do things, but they don't necessarily have the means to do it, or just providing tools or resources to help streamline what we're asking them to do. Hey, I want you to data track and progress monitor. How can we make that easier, right? And progress monitoring comes pretty easy in the EC world. And I'll say at elementary school as well, because we have MCLAS. And so DIBLs, you know, progress monitoring comes a little easy. But once you get to middle school or even upper elementary, it is not as easy. So again, going back to providing the tools, making sure that I'm saying the same thing every time, that common language, we're saying MTSS, we're saying tier one in core, tier two supplemental, tier three intensive, and focusing on the core, right? Yeah. Just asking those powerful questions. Well, what does this mean? Well, why do you think the data, you know, shows this? Is there anything that you could have done differently? How do you know that your students have mastered the standards? What if they've already mastered them? What are you going to do for the students who don't master them? And being honest, you know, with ourselves, if 75 to 80% of the students didn't respond to the intervention, then it's probably not the students, it could be the intervention or the way that it was implemented. So just being candid and visible, showing them that I'm a partner with you.
Tell me a little bit more about that visibility. Like for you, what does that look like?
Okay. So I am a district employee, so I'm at the central office. However, at the beginning of last school year, or actually during the summer, I asked each school administrative team to give me their dates, their calendar dates for their meetings. If you meet every second Wednesday at 3:30, let me know. And without fail, unless I had another meeting or I was out of the office or something came up, I was at their meetings, not to, monitor the meetings, not to ensure that they were having them, but to answer those questions, to be a think partner with them, to let them know that, hey, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get in the weeds with you. Now, I didn't mention this earlier, but at one of the schools that were, I will say, most closely with, and it was, they requested me more than the other schools. When I tell you a success that we have for this upcoming school year is that we have a dedicated INE time, and they did not have that in their master schedule at all. So a lot of the work that needed to be done with MTSS, they have time to do it. Or, it's, I have to pull the student during this time, and the teacher's saying, well, why isn't my class important? Well, if I have to pull the students during this time, who's going to have the students that I have, or is cutting into my planning period? So we worked really hard to create a schedule, and it took, some people are married to schedules. We are fortunate in our district that out of, I believe, like around 180 teaching positions, I believe we have 148. I just saw this recently, so I hope I'm right with my numbers, but almost 150 with over 10 years of experience, and the majority of them have only taught in our district. So imagine just having the same schedule, right?
Secondary folk, they kind of get real weird around schedule time. I get that. So when you say INE, is that
it's intervention and enrichment.
Okay. So that, I just wanted to clarify the acronym, because sometimes we have all the, education, we have all these different acronyms.
That is so true.
So intervention and enrichment. That's really great. And that's, if you have the magic way of figuring that out, I'm sure that there's other districts that want to know, other schools that are like, how did you work that out? But so a dedicated intervention and enrichment time, was that sort of like the teachers and the school wanted that? So they started to like pursue figuring that out for themselves.
So the first thing was to talk about the need, right? There is a need for it, and they wanted it, but based on the schedule, how was it going to work? So part of that work started at the district level. One of my colleagues and I, she and I, instead of going to the school and say, hey, you all need to do this, figure it out. Because I was working with the MTSS team and we were talking about it. And she was working with the school administrators. They were talking about it. So she and I came together. And what we did is we created some samples, or hey, here's an idea. So they didn't have to. The hardest thing they had to do was choose which one. Instance, do you want it at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day? And there were like a few little tweaks, and when I say minor, it was okay, well, let's change this and maybe send this grade to lunch first. So it's very minor, but it was, what time of day do you want it? Right. And then what is that going to look like? Are you going to determine which students go where? And so, and at the other schools, we already had some type of variation of that going on. But at this one particular school, it's the only school that did not have this dedicated block. But they knew, the teachers knew that they needed it. And it was a year long process, but everyone bought in, and we are going to start the first day of school, 23-24.
Is that an elementary school?
No, the elementary schools already had something in place. They all call it something different.
Yeah, but this was this a middle school then?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and that, I think middle school is even more difficult with the schedule because mm-hmm. you have, you know, that's when you've started those, you know, hour long classes or, you know, your different sections or periods of time in class. Mm-hmm. And so it can get kind of tricky with electives and all of that kind of, that mm-hmm. kind of work. So, well, that's great. That's awesome to hear. And I also think with middle school, it's even more important to have that space because just the kinds of thing, not only academic interventions, but also social, emotional mm-hmm. and behavior and all the other stuff that can happen during that time. So that's fantastic. So, okay. Kind of thinking, one of the last questions I always want to ask is, you know, for administrators and people doing this work in other districts, what advice or even just nuggets of wisdom would you have for someone who is also doing this work?
So I would say implementation, like full implementation, can take 2 to 4 years. So choose your top three things, you know, your priority areas, and start there. Like I said, one of my priorities was establishing a common language. Like when I say MTSS, this is what I'm talking about. I created the ABCs of MTSS, a document for our district, just with some of the acronyms or words that I will use and what they mean. And hey, I published that so you can look and you see that this is what tier two is. You know, sometimes people won't ask you that. So establishing that common language, knowing that full implementation takes time, right? It's not just overnight. And then I guess one of the other things that I did, again, was having the right teaming structures, ensuring that the right people are in place. And mm-hmm. and some of the schools, you know, were further along because maybe, like I said, the elementary level, they're already doing progress monitoring, right? So meeting everyone where they are mm-hmm. and understand that every school has different needs. We have an early college with maybe 7 staff members, that's including the principal. So surely they can't do some of the work that they don't have as many people, right? They don't have a COL. It is shared with the high school, but primarily they don't have like people who are based at their mm-hmm. school to do some of the work. So finding ways to help them. Now, again, some of their needs are different as well. They may mm-hmm. not have attendance issues. So just knowing what the school needs and what they have to meet those needs.
Mm, yeah.
Treating every school as a separate entity. With the same goal, of course, but.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a tricky thing is when we take what works in one school and try to apply it mm-hmm. to another. And we're like, why isn't this working? They were really successful and you're really comparing apples and oranges. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why MTSS at the elementary doesn't look the same at MTSS as secondary. It just by nature, it's different. It can't mm-hmm. look the same. You know, subject matter teachers are different than a teacher that teaches all the different content areas. Well, Chrissy, I'm so excited for all the things that are happening in your district. It sounds like you, enjoy your job. Like you talked about these things with a smile. You're excited about things that are happening in this next year. And so I appreciate you coming and sharing about your work, because I think that can be helpful. Even just hearing about the scheduling thing can help another administrator goes, it's possible. So I appreciate you so much. So one of the last questions I love asking is about, because most educators will have a good answer for this. But what was if you could think of a memory or just a favorite part of school, it can even be as an educator too. But like, what was your favorite memory, going through school as a kid?
Anything that related to literacy. I love going to, at the time we were still called the library instead of media center, but going to the library, checking books out, as many as I could check out, right? Whatever was allowable, writing reports, helping if I finished early, going and helping the librarian or the media specialist put the books back where they belong with the, you know, little Dewey Decimal System. I love literacy circles and Socratic seminars, anything that required deep thought and where there wasn't one specific answer, right? Mm. I can interpret this differently. We can all read this book and we can discuss it and we can either change our minds or not, but agree to disagree and, you know, realizing that our experiences shape our perspectives and interpretations. So all things literacy. And so as a teacher, I enjoyed that as well.
Yeah. That's, I love that you're speaking my language. I was an English teacher. And so I used to love the library and I always said my mom worked at the library and I would go, I would ride my bike down and I would check out a lot of books and I did not have to pay library fines until I was an adult. and I still have trouble taking the books back. But I appreciate that a lot, Ed, that I like that you said you liked it when it wasn't like a clear answer. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that that kind of relates sometimes in the work that you do is that sometimes it's a little gray and we have to like make the, use our knowledge and the best, the things that we know to do best. And that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, and just talking with us on the podcast today.
And thank you for the opportunity. I thoroughly enjoyed this.
Thanks for listening to School and Around, a podcast hosted by Branching Minds. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to hear all our future episodes. As well, if you're enjoying our content, would you do us a favor and rate and review our podcast on iTunes? This helps others find our podcast and let us know how much you love what we're creating. Branching Minds is an educational technology company using learning sciences and technology to help districts effectively personalize learning through MTSS. To learn more about us, check out our website, branchingminds.com, or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn at Branching Minds.